Today's gospel contains one of the most popular and beloved verses in all the scriptures, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. We could rightly call this verse a summary of Christianity. Before talking more about that verse, however, I want to jump back one verse before it. This is when Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. What's Jesus talking about here? Might seem kind of confusing. So in the Old Testament book of Numbers, there's a story about how when Moses was leading the people through the desert, they were, as they often were, complaining. They were complaining about the food, especially. They said to Moses, "We are disgusted with this wretched food." And it's important to remember that God was providing everything that they needed along the journey. It certainly doesn't sound like it was comfortable, but everything that they really needed was provided for them, including God sending them manna and quail from heaven, giving them water from the rock. But anyway, they complain, "We're disgusted with this wretched food." So as a response, God sends venomous serpents who bite the people, and many of them die. So in their suffering, the people then repent of their complaining. And so Moses then, hearing the repentance of the people, prays for the people who have bitten by the snakes. And as a remedy, God tells Moses to do something very strange. He says, Make a copper serpent, or in other words, an image, a copper image of the very serpents that are biting the people, and put it on a pole and lift that up. And everybody who looks at that copper serpent will be healed. So Moses does that and they're healed. So interestingly, this is kind of an aside, but interestingly, if you've often a symbol in the medical field will be a snake curled around a pole, and it's believed that this is the ancient origin of that symbol for the medical healing profession. I think it's really helpful for us because Jesus references this story right before the gospel writer gives us this summary of the whole Christian gospel. It's really helpful for us to try to understand this story ourselves. So what's going on here with the serpents and the copper serpent mounted on the pole? Well, I think a couple things are helpful for us. First of all, it's always important for us to know that when the scripture says that God sends the venomous serpents to the people as a punishment, this isn't God responding with vengeance. This isn't God overreacting to the people, but rather what we see happen throughout the scriptures is that suffering always follows sin. That suffering is always the consequence of sin. And this is what we experience in our life too. And I know this firsthand, just as I know that you know this firsthand, that our sins bring suffering into our life, and the sins of others bring suffering in our life too. So our personal sins and the personal sins committed by others are a great source, if not the preeminent source of suffering in our life. But here we actually see how the suffering that the people experience after they're complaining, they're being bitten by the snakes, actually leads them to a recognition that they've sinned and a repentance. And that repentance then gives the gives them the possibility of entering back into relationship with God. So it's important for us to see how God uses suffering. That when we think that everything is fine in our life, when we think we're fine, our life's fine, when we're generally content with how we're doing and how our life is doing, often this makes us forgetful of God. But I think we notice that it's when we experience the trials and the sufferings of our life, often that's when we're moved to cry out to the Lord. That's often when we're moved to examine our lives and say, I want to do better than I've done. I repent of the ways that I've sinned. I want a real relationship with God again. So suffering has like a healing effect on us. And that's actually what we see at play in the story today. So I think that's important to remember as we see people suffer after their sins, that this isn't so much like God's vengeance, but it's actually the natural consequences of our sin, which serve an important purpose in our relationship with God, which is precisely why God allows the suffering, because he sees how the suffering is actually can actually lead us back to him. So I think the most glaring question is, why does God have Moses put this copper serpent on the pole? And how does that heal people? So if we can imagine this copper serpent on the pole, and people are looking at this copper serpent, and they're looking at an image of that which has bitten them, and now they're very sick and even dying, they're desperate for healing, what they're looking at is the reason that they need healing. They're looking at the thing that bit them, the thing that made them so sick. And actually, if we think about the symbolism of the serpent, we can go right back to the beginning of the Bible, to the garden, where the first sin came about because the serpent tempted the man and the woman. So not only are, when the people are looking at the serpent, not only are they seeing the cause of their physical suffering, but they're actually seeing or recognizing the cause of their spiritual suffering. They're seeing what's led to their separation from God in the first place, which is the fall into sin after being tempted. And so what the people are looking at is their sin, essentially, when they're looking up at the serpent, and this has a healing effect on them. And the same is true for us too. It's when we can identify our sins, it's when we can face up to them, acknowledge them, claim them, that we actually have the possibility of repentance and healing from them. If we never acknowledge our sins, then we can't be healed from them. It's I think the best analogy for this is when we go to the doctor. I mean, if you go to the doctor because you have heart pains, and you feel like you have serious heart problems, but you go to the doctor and you talk about your hangnail, and you don't tell them about the thing that's the matter with you, well, he's not going to be able to treat that which is the most the matter. If we go to the doctor and hide something from the doctor, well, then he can't help us with it, because we haven't revealed the problem to him. But if we reveal the problem, then there's actually the possibility for healing. And so in the spiritual realm, It's exactly the same way. If we just try to pretend that there's no problem, well, then there's not going to be any healing. So what the Lord wants to do is actually to make us aware, very aware of our sins. Not to shame us, not to make us feel guilty per se, but rather to move us to acknowledge, identify, own up to the sins themselves, so that we can be healed from them. It's actually a mercy. I always say this to people in confession, especially people who make a detailed confession, who say things like, 2 days ago I said something terrible to my wife, and I'm sorry for that. People who go into detail, who confess their serious sins explicitly, I always tell them what a grace it is that God gives them an awareness of their sins. Because if we don't have an awareness, we can't be healed. If we're aware of it, we can bring those sins to the doctor, our spiritual doctor, Jesus, in our own heart, in the sacrament of reconciliation, and experience healing. So this also helps us to understand the logic of the cross too. Why? Because what Jesus says in the gospel today is, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And how is Jesus, the Son of Man, lifted up like Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert? Well, it's this way that God lifted Jesus up on the cross. And what happens to us as we gaze at Jesus? Remember, the Israelites had to look at the copper serpent on the pole. Well, what happens when we look at Jesus? What are we seeing? Well, we're seeing something very different from the serpent. The serpent is the cause of our sin. But what do we see when we look at Jesus? We see the one who takes our sins upon himself. Even though Jesus is certainly not the cause of our sin, and he himself has committed no sin, what does St. Paul tell us? He says, Christ became sin on the cross. And whose sin? Mine. Yours. Jesus takes all of those upon himself. And what do we see on the cross? The suffering that's the consequence of sin. There it is. And it's brutal. If we think of everything that Jesus went through in the last day of his life, from the terrible psychological anguish that he experienced in the garden, to the betrayal of his friends and abandonment by them, to the being whipped and mocked and spat upon, and then he carries his cross all the way to Calvary, and then he's nailed to that cross. The blood that would have flowed from his body, the dirt that would have stuck to his skin, he died there naked, humiliated. And that's the consequence for what I've done and what you've done. But Jesus takes that upon himself. He's never sinned, but he becomes sin on the cross, taking our sins upon himself. So looking at the cross has a healing effect on us. Why? Because when we see Jesus suffering, we see our sins that makes him suffer. But we also see him, the source of our healing. Why? Because God doesn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. What Jesus does on the cross for us saves us, heals us. We've all been bitten by a venomous snake and we're dying. But Jesus, because he takes our sins upon himself, heals us, saves us. When I think about Jesus on the cross, I always think of marriage, actually. You can interpret that whatever way you want to, but this is the deeper meaning that I mean by that. And I talked about this actually on Friday night when I had the wedding of Greg Arsenault and Nicole Earnhardt, who are at Mass this morning. It's great to see you guys here today. When we get married, what happens? Well, we two people who have gifts and weaknesses take on each other's gifts and weaknesses, and when we get married to someone, we're very happy to share their gifts. If they're a good cook, for example, happy to take those gifts for ourselves. If they're handy around the house or a mechanic, happy to take those gifts. Those are very useful. If someone's good with organization, etc. But when we marry someone, we don't just accept their gifts and take them for as our own. We also accept their weaknesses and their struggles and their wounds. And we take those as if they're our own too. I always tell couples that there's no problem that's not shared in marriage. If you have a problem, it's your spouse's problem too, and that's a good thing. Where do we see this most especially? We see it in the divine bridegroom, who espouses himself to us as the church. And what do we see him doing on the cross? Taking our sins, taking our struggles, taking our wounds, taking them upon himself, and bearing them for us. He's the good bridegroom, the divine bridegroom, the bridegroom of the church. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Today, brothers and sisters, as the Israelites of old gazed upon the copper serpent and were healed, let's gaze upon Jesus, hung upon the cross for us. Let's see in the sufferings that he bore, the price, the consequences for our own sins, but how he takes them not begrudgingly, but as a spouse, as a lover, as one who wants to share all of our problems, all of our burdens, all of our wounds, taking them upon ourselves, himself, and giving us in return the healing, the salvation that we desperately need.